Good afternoon. This is Reverend Dr. James R. Gibbs. The name of our program is Solutions. The name of our parent company is National Society of Christian Educators, Incorporated, and we're happy to be with you today. Now, today I'm expecting someone to call us and talk about what we're going to be talking about today. We are National Society of Christian Educators, and we are committed to equipping the people for the work of ministry throughout each community, wherever we may be, by focusing on high-risk, at-risk, and troubled youth. And we stand on five pillars of community concern. That first pillar is drugs in the community. Then we go to gangs and gang warfare, teen pregnancy, school campus violence, and homeless children. The thing that we have been discussing over the past 3 weeks has to do with school campus violence. And school campus violence covers a very broad area of concern. And that area of concern can reach to not only high schools and colleges and universities, but also middle schools and daycare centers. And so anywhere that people, young people and children are gathered, that becomes a concern for us. And so we want to talk to the general public and focus on such things as what you see as being a deterrent to school violence. What can you, what suggestion could you bring to us that would take a bite out of crime that takes place on campuses throughout our country? We're making a difference, a lasting impression, positive one, on the quality of life for inner city youth in particular. And we partner with folk in the local area. We have the Give $1 to Save One Partnership Foundation. We have Black Male College Explorers Program, Florida A&M University, Cornerstone Solutions Incorporated, Ernest J. Lane's Men's Apparel, Promise Center of Excellence, and Scopac Publishing Incorporated. And all of these foundations are coming together to create a continuum of care with intervention programs and activities on multiple levels that are sustainable and measurable over time. Like I say, whenever you are ready to call in, just call in and we will direct our attention to you, and hopefully we will be able to create a dialogue that will start a broader dialogue in the community. Anytime. Just want to talk a little bit about what we did a few weeks ago on the 13th of August. Today is September the 24th, so it was last month. We had a summer 2010 preschool youth symposium at Smith-Williams Community Center here in Tallahassee, Florida, and it was a success. We were able to prepare a program agenda for young people. We began with prayer, and then we had the welcome, the salutation, and we had a musical tribute where a young lady came and sang a patriotic song. And then we had two workshops. We had one that was an excellent workshop presented by a young lady in the local community who is a certified teacher and a reading coach. She talked about the importance of reading. And I want to share with you that it was a very, very interesting and stimulating workshop that she gave. I didn't think just from the title that it was going to be interesting, but it was surprisingly interesting the way that she presented it. And then we had a discussion by a young lady who was a member of the Crime Prevention Unit from the Leon County Sheriff's Department, who came to us and did an excellent workshop on bullying. That seems to be the prevailing discussion that takes place today They have television shows and things that are talking about what's going on in that world, and that focuses right in on school campus violence, because bullying is really a disturbing thing. I want someone to call me, give me a good working definition of what bullying is all about, and hopefully we can stimulate a discussion from that point. We're happy to be with you today. This is our fourth meeting with you, and we hope that as time goes by, we can stimulate discussion. As I said, we have had a couple of people who promised to call in and join in conversation with us. But I think with today's activities, today is the first day of fall, and it's rather hot today here in this area, and many people are out and about. Some are at the beach and different places around town. So we ask that you join us. We are Solutions, and we still stand ready to communicate with you when you are ready to call in. We have people standing by to receive your calls. We have an 888, our number, anywhere you can dial toll-free, 888-627-6008. Once again, 888-627-6008. That's a toll-free number. So just call in at any time and join in this discussion as we are on the subject of school campus violence. Any area, any aspect of it that you can contribute, any solution that you can provide for us that would serve to take a bite out of that crime, we certainly want to hear it so that we will be able to, perhaps on Monday morning, share that with our administrators on the local school campuses. School board commissioners and members of city and county school boards need to also call in so that they will be informed as to what this program is all about. We hope to make an impact on the at-large community. 888-627-6008 is the call-in number. It's a toll-free number. You can reach us on our website. We are www.nsceinc.org. It's lowercase. Once again, www.nsceinc.org. That is the official National Societies of Christian Educators website. When you go there, you will find that we have a beautiful garnet front, and you will find a Statue of Liberty symbol there that's lit up. You have the option to make a contribution to our foundation. We need your support. We need all the financial help that you can give us because we must stay on the air. We're having at this time, since we're not getting any resources, we're having to pay the radio stations out of our own resources. So we need assistance from you if at all possible. It is tax deductible. NSCEINC.org. Our email is jimrgibbs@comcast.net. That's lowercase as well. jimrgibbs@comcast.net. You can reach us on in our home area. My cell phone number is 850-524-6430 if you would like to contact me. But our toll-free number that you can reach us on the air today, it doesn't matter where you are, if you're in Atlanta or if you're in Chicago or anywhere in North America. You can be in the state of Maine or you can be in the state of New York, anywhere, toll-free 888-627-6008. And moving right along, we are happy to share the platform with you today, to be with you. And I am starting a little bit late. I'm trying to find my book. It is the book that I was fortunate to write during the time that I was working on my doctorate degree at Northwestern Theological Seminary. And it's a lot of things that I will be covering in that book. For instance, on the very back page of the book, it says that the book is a how-to. How to create a community-wide awareness from a multicultural, interdenominational, holistic, and theological perspective for at-risk and troubled youth. I don't know if that makes a whole lot of sense to you. Some people say, what is he saying? Well, it is a book that is based on really my experiences as a Christian educator, youth counselor, and pastor. Through personal witness of African-American youth, I have experienced firsthand and swallowed the bitter pill of poverty, violence, victimization, and homicide. I used to pastor a church up in Asheville, North Carolina, and every afternoon when school let out, there was a school bus stop right outside the church on Bartlett Street in downtown Asheville. When the kids got off the bus, every afternoon there would be a fight. It would be a fight because they would let off maybe 35, 40 kids at that one bus stop. And when you get that greater number of kids together and let them off the bus, and they are on their own at that time. They think they are home free. School is out, you know. There's going to be a fight. And so every afternoon when that happened, my heart skipped a beat. I knew at that time that there was nothing that I could do to stop a fight. And if you call the police, by the time they got there, the kids would be gone. And so I labored on that, and I thought about that, prayed on it for years, and here we are today, many, many years later, on this radio program. And we're hoping that somebody will call in, because I have the feeling that that is probably still going on at that very bus stop in that very city, and not only that city, but cities all over the country. So what can we do? Because there are virtually thousands of buses across the U.S. stopping at various places in the cities and towns and communities. And that's a good hot spot for fights to ensue. And so what can we do to take a bite out of that? It's situations like that that I need you to call in on, and I know that you are as concerned about these issues as I am. My kids are up and grown and out now. My oldest kid is 41, and my baby is 36. So, you know, here I am, an old man, but I'm still concerned about our youth and children. I still believe that we as a community can work together and come up with solutions. Thus, the name or the title of our show, Solutions. So we look for the answers. And as I was reading, and let me read just a little bit further. And these are statistics and things that I find in my research. They're not just things that I conjured up in my head. These are things that are the result of my research. African-American youth are statistically the greatest perpetrators of crime in the communities and the lowest academic achievers. It is my hope to increase or to create a greater community-wide awareness at a time when society will see black youth beyond the playing field and look for the real role models in their respective communities, such as teachers, pastors, mothers, fathers, and grandparents. In my book, I will place greater emphasis on the role of parenting and education in influencing youth to partake in activities which will hone their abilities and create positive outlooks on life. The active involvement of various organizations, schools, and individuals could hasten the achievement of these goals because unity leads to revolutionary reform. Another thought that I had was we need to perhaps create a forum. I think our next youth involvement will perhaps focus on a forum where young people can be in a setting whereby these various approaches, various ideas can be brought to them, and they can respond on that. We have a program that we talked about called the PAC program, which is a positive adolescent choices training designed specifically for African-American male and female adolescents. It applies cognitive training methods in small group settings in six skill areas. Elementary school teachers preferably select students for participation based on social skill deficiencies, problems with aggressive behavior, or history of victimization. Training is provided twice a week in 50-minute sessions for half of the school year. PAC volunteers will facilitate the training and are aided by high-quality videotapes that demonstrate the skills in realistic situations. Now, the way that we do this is we look at the concept of giving it, taking it, and working it out. The film, the videotape, is based on those three principles. Giving it, that is showing how the student would react or respond in a giving situation. Taking it, that is being the victim of a potential problem, and working it out is being able to compromise with the person or persons and work out some kind of solution to it. Now, naturally, we cannot come up with a solution just as it is right now. We cannot teach it on the air, but we can give some suggestions as to how we can best try this program out. I was able to do this once before, and it was in a church setting. We had there was a department of the church, like a youth department or something, that had a program that they were putting on. They called me to come over and do a workshop under the PAC program. And I did not really give any stipulations or guidelines. It's impossible to do that because when you get there, maybe 2,000 or 3,000 kids there. And so we don't have, in those settings, we don't have the luxury of being able to cherry pick kids based on their skills, based on those aggressive behavior skills and things of that nature. So we're in the wrong setting. But anyway, when I went to my little classroom that had already been pre-selected, I was hoping to have the model classroom because the videotape and all the background information, it calls for a group of perhaps 6 to 8 adolescents between the ages of about 13 to 15, all males, in one group, all females, in another group, they're separated from each other, and thus you have the ideal setting, all males in one room, all females in another room, and you would then select the persons who are going to serve as the victim, one who is going to serve as the aggressor, and you would have judges there and so on, and everyone will have their own pre-selected rules and regulations. When the dramatization is over, then the kids would sort of be polled and given the opportunity to speak from their own experience as to what they were able to get out of that particular demonstration. It works out good on paper, but when I went into the classroom at this church setting, in comes about 40 kids. They storm the classroom, boys and girls from 8 to 80. Well, no, it wasn't that broad. Boys and girls from about 12 up to about 17 years of age, boys and girls all mixed together. And so when they all sat down, some sitting on top of each other, some sitting on somebody's lap, and I'm looking at all of these kids in here, and I'm saying, what are we doing here? We had gone way beyond the parameters of what I was hoping to have. And so it turned into a general kind of discussion. We threw out general questions out there that would not offend either the boys or the girls. We would ask general questions like, what do you do when someone calls you an inappropriate name? You know, how do you respond to that? And they sit there and look at each other. Nobody's going to talk because there's like a code of silence or code of conduct among young people often when they're in large numbers, that one is not going to speak because they may be seen as a little too aggressive or a little too talkative. And when they get outside, it lays the foundation for bullying techniques, if you understand what I'm saying. Because somebody's going to say something offensive about that kid who was too mouthy in the classroom setting. And then you created a problem as the program went along. So I saw the problem there, but unfortunately it was a total misfit. We were not able to accomplish our goals because foundation wasn't really laid the right way prior to the workshop. So when we do this thing again, and I typically would like to go to a middle school and have a talk with the principal, and perhaps once I've explained the concept to the principal and they understand, then we could go to perhaps a classroom or maybe to a guidance counselor. You have to explain it to them so that they will understand, because they're going to ultimately be the captains and the persons responsible for conducting these workshops themselves when I'm not around. Because if we have 67 counties, I can't possibly be in 67 counties at one time. So we may want to set it up in a way that we can sort of deputize teachers and counselors and principals, and they can all join in at some time, and we can set these workshops up maybe twice a week on a half a year basis, and do it that way. But I'm looking forward to working with school boards and school board districts and so on. I think that what it will ultimately do is teach young people how to think under stressful situations. And I think the main point that we're trying to get across whenever a crisis situation comes up is to teach them how to relax and be calm in the middle of a storm. I know that sounds contradictory, but if we can just teach a kid, say a 9-year-old or 10-year-old, that whenever they're confronted with a bully or someone who is trying to overshadow them with fear, for them to begin to learn how to hold their composure. And learning how to be calm is the hallmark to the success of this program that we call PAC. Learning techniques and what to say under these conditions, those conditions, or what have you, yeah, that's important. But it's more important to learn how to be calm. If I can teach a young person how to be calm, then we can be on the way toward overcoming a lot of adversities. If someone wants to join me, I would be happy to have a discussion with you. I know that someone does hear me, so I implore you to call in and discuss with me any aspect of school campus violence. Once again, we're toll free, 888-627-6008, and I would love to hear from you. I'm going to take a break for about a minute or so, a couple of minutes, and get a drink of water, and then come back and join with you, and I hope at that time that you will be ready, willing, and able to call us to begin a discussion. 888-627-6008. We're on the subject of school campus violence. School violence. All schools, whether it is a kindergarten, daycare school, a middle school, junior high school, senior high school, if it may be a community college, it may be a senior college, university, there are problems on all of them. And that goes on pretty much all the time. Some of them are reported. Some of them will never be reported. There are very, very heinous crimes that take place. We need to be aware of some of those things. And it runs the full gamut. You know, it runs the full gamut. There are unimaginable crimes that are taking place every day. Drugs are being dispensed. Gangs are on the campuses. And all kind of violence. And so we must be vigilant. We must recognize that our children are in danger. If you have kids that are on in school, and most of us do, whether it is the primary daycare school or the university campus, we want to be aware of the dangers that potentially face our children. And as we ride through that campus, just be mindful that we may be passing by a drug dealer or a murderer. And so we must be aware of these things. I'm going to take a little break, and I will be back in about 3 minutes. And we're back. This is Reverend Dr. James R. Gibbs, Jr., and the name of our show is Solutions. I did have a thought that was shared with me by someone who is very, very dear to me, my wife. She brought something to mind that I hadn't really considered, and that is there may be a parent or a child out there who is going through a crisis situation. We've been looking at this thing from the standpoint of the at-large community and what do they bring to the table, so to speak. But look at this thing from another perspective. A parent. Let's say that we have a parent, a single parent, who maybe has has a number of children living in the housing projects, maybe have 5 or 6 kids. They are overwhelmed with a myriad of problems and concerns. They don't have solutions. They don't have any answers, but maybe they have questions. Let me encourage you to call us in. Call in and tell us what's going on in your household, what's going on with you on a daily basis, and if there's anything that we can do, I can do. Not much I can do, I don't guess, but there's somebody out there who can call in and share with us. Or it might be a student who is being victimized by person or persons out there, and they need help, because, you know, as a teen or as a 20-ager, what have you, sometimes you can get caught up in situations where, you know, you can't tell a teacher, you can't tell a counselor, you can't tell your mom or your dad, but you need to tell somebody. Maybe if you call in, we can help in some kind of way. We want to help you. NSCE, that is National Society of Christian Educators Incorporated, can certainly help you in some kind of positive way. We are toll free, 888-627-6008. Once again, if you write that number down, this goes for not only those who share concerns, other foundations perhaps. I've called upon everybody, professors and directors on university campuses and commissioners and all levels of people in our society. But I'm also calling on parents, that mom or that grandmother who has to go through the daily horrors and rigors of victimization every day. I spoke with a lady a few days ago who shared something with me, and since I'm not calling her name or anything of that nature, you would never know. But she told me that her granddaughter came home one afternoon, and she went straight through the house back in her room, and she was back there for a long time. And there was this knock on the door. And so, not really being totally aware of it, she went to the door, and it was about 4 girls standing out there. And they had come to beat up her granddaughter. And it just terrorized her. She told the girls to get off her property and so on, and she called the police. And the girls left. And I think she eventually ended up taking out a warrant or something of that nature, restraining order, I believe is the word. And the young girls were eventually barred from coming onto her property. But I'm thinking, even beyond that, when the granddaughter comes from the back room and goes to school the next day, what happens then? When the granddaughter goes to her classroom and goes through the classes, and the bell rings to change classes. And as she's going down the hallway, perhaps to her locker or to go to another room, and she encounters one or two or more, what happens then? We need to think these things through, and this is why I want you to call me so that we can talk about these things. It's toll-free, 888-627-6008. We're going to be waiting for you, and we're going to be in prayer for you. We're going to hold your problems and your concerns and your fears close to our hearts. We want you to know that we are with you, that we do hear you, and that when we can think these things through together, then perhaps we can come up with some kind of solution. To merely lay a subject on the table, such as school campus violence, and this is something that goes even beyond the campus. It goes off the campus and onto the school buses and off the school buses and into the city, the inner cities, and on the streets and in the parks and playgrounds. It goes even to your homes. We need to know how we can interact with that student. How can we tell the student it's going to be all right once we can talk it out together? But we have to talk these things out. Now, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything of that nature, but I am a trained professional pastor. I have a few, the word credentials under my belt. And so I have dealt with these kind of situations before, but it takes you calling in to talk about these things so that we can begin to work them out. Now, I'm going to be today is Saturday evening. I'm going to be in prayer for you as I go to my church tomorrow morning. Although I haven't seen you, haven't heard from you, I will just call it that unknown factor, or that unknown child, or that unknown student, that unknown parent, that hopefully our minds and our hearts can somehow connect. And even after the radio show is over, and we'll be over in about another 15 minutes, and as the night comes on and as the darkness comes, you may want to call me personally. 1-850-624-6430. That's my cell. Once again, 1-850-524-6430. This is off the air. I want to hear from you, and I want you to be true to yourself. I want you to let me know and share with me some of the problems, some of the concerns that you have, because it is a dangerous and cruel world out there. It goes beyond things that we see on television, Criminal Minds, CSI, all those things that we see. That is real. We're talking about real issues. When we talk about homicide, that is real. talk about victimization, that is real. When we talk about drive-bys and bullying, that is real. Bullying is perhaps the most horrifying thing that you can think of. Generally, it is an older person, larger person, taking advantage of a smaller person and a weaker person. That's the generality. It could be more than one person, like a gang, that can pounce upon you. You need to talk to me so that we can work these things out together. Sometimes divine intervention is the best thing. We don't depend enough upon the divinity of God to be our chief problem solver. We don't look to the spiritual nature of a God who has an all-seeing eye. A God who has the power over life and death, who holds the key to our very existence. And I'll tell you, I've been in this ministry for a long time, over 30 years. And the God that I serve has not failed me yet. As a matter of fact, he's been good to me. When I think back over the days when I was young and foolish, living on the streets of Miami, today I look back and wonder, how could it be that I'm still alive today? And I see where my help comes from. Maybe if we talked about this together, we might be able to make some sense out of this often misguided and misdirected world that we live in. So, I'm going to pass the hat around and see if anybody has anything they want to say. The wife is here. She may want to share something.
I just want to say that as a young girl growing up in school, I too had someone that was, I guess you might say, a bully or someone that wanted to just wear my watch all the time. And I remember back when I said to this person, I'm not going to let you wear my watch anymore. It belongs to me. And we ended up in a shoving match. I won't say a fight, but it was sort of like a fight. So I do know as a young person, you do, you know, go through a lot sometimes with your friends or so-called friends. So, you know, I understand totally that there are times where people are pushing you around and but there may be a time you have to start standing up for yourself. But after that day with the shoving match, I don't remember ever letting that person wear my watch again. But I do know that with God, all things are possible. And he can help you through any situation, no matter what the situation is.
Amen, amen. Thank you so very much. That was my wife. She comes straight from the heart. And I thank God for her every day. I thank God for the directing me to her. We've only been married now for 3 years.
Almost.
Coming up on 3 years. And it has been a joy to be with her. Now, once again, 888-627-6008 for the next 10 minutes. But if you think about this a little longer, and you may want to talk to me in the wee hours of the morning, or late at night, 850-524-6430. 850-524-6430. Now, there's still time if you want to call in. And you may not want to call in today. But sooner or later, you're going to need to face those demons that you're encountering, whether it's on a daily basis or every other day or whenever you see them. As my wife just said, you need the strength. You will need the strength to stand up for yourself one day. That's, I guess, where we come in with NSCE, National Society of Christian Educators Incorporated. And that's where my professional theological training comes in as a doctor of ministry and as one who has made reading scripture and interpretation of scripture a daily occupation, become a field practitioner. I'm here to help you as well as myself. And so I thank God for you and for the parents and grandparents, business owners. We haven't talked about business owners. Pardon me. We haven't talked about those people who own those little mom-and-pop stores where the bullies come in and shove them around, put a gun in their face, demand all their money. This we're still on school campus violence. We've come off the campus, but it's still dealing with the violence aspect. I want you to know that God is everywhere. He's omnipotent. He's that means He has all power. He's omniscient. He's all knowing. And He's omnipresent, means He's everywhere at the same time. Whether you are a believer or a non-believer, you need some basic principles upon which to stand. You need some kind of force that is greater than your own to help prop you up. This is where unto Him that is able to keep you and me in Jude from falling and present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. We say to the only wise God, our Lord and Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now, henceforth, and forevermore. Father, we thank You this evening for this radio broadcast. We thank You for this opportunity to speak to people all over this vast land. We thank You for those, Lord, who have heard the discussion today. Thank You for the children, the teenagers, those persons for listening today. We know that they are listening because we feel their presence. We know that some are hurting right now because they have suffered great losses. Some have lost friends and loved ones. Some have lost their homes and possessions. Some have lost cars and means of transportation. Some have lost limbs, eyes. Some have lost the ability to think. We ask you now to lay aside every weight that besets you. Don't take that drug. Don't push that knife into someone else's body. Don't take something that does not belong to you. Don't take unfair advantage of someone else. We pray that you will be strong, that you will learn to stand up for what is right. We pray, Lord, that you will be with these, thy listeners, through the night, that they be not tormented, that they can rest assured that tomorrow will bring a wonderful day. We thank you. In Jesus' name. In the name of the Christ child who is the Son of God.